haven't been introduced that way before. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Bob. Well, it certainly is a beautiful Sabbath day today, and I'm glad you all can make it. It's good to see you here. It's that time of year where things are all bursting forth. The gardens, with the rain it had this week, and the sunshine is just blooming. It's just a wonderful time of year. Well, this year, actually this week, me and Cassie, we started incubating some chicken eggs at our place. We're hoping to get some baby chicks. And this got me thinking that the incubation process has some parallels, as I was thinking about, with us as we grow in God's as we grow in our journey as we are Christians. If you think about it, first thing we did when we got our to get ready for incubating is, well, first thing you need is some fertilized eggs. Excuse me. If you don't have fertilized eggs, you're not going to have very much success trying to hatch out some baby chicks. This could be kind of like, but on the spiritual parallel, that's kind of like, could be compared to our baptism. At this point, we have the beginning of God's Spirit, His seed has a chance to start growing inside of us. So you need fertilized eggs. And we can see the concept of baptism and the Holy Spirit being given at baptism is found in Mark chapter 1, verse 8. I'll just read it quickly. Mark chapter 1, verse 8 says, I indeed baptize you with water. But this is John the Baptist, I believe, speaking with water. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So, of baptism, picturing the beginning, the fertilization of the egg. Before we go any farther, I think it's important to, one of the first scripture, when I had this idea, I got it one morning, early in the morning, it came to me while I was earlier this week. And first scripture I thought of was in Matthew. I think it's fitting to go there. So let's go over to Matthew 23, verse 37. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, here it's recorded some words that Christ gave, said. It says in chapter 23, verse 37. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. Notice the next thing what Christ says here. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. So here we have this concept of Christ is comparing himself, having the attributes of like a mother hen wanting to shelter us under his wings. So as we're incubating our eggs, we obviously, the incubator is simulating the mother hen's process. So you can compare that there. Christ kind of takes the parallel. Christ is like the mother hen. He's the hen keeping us, watching over us, and keeping the conditions right so that we can grow and hopefully hatch. So the next thing after you get yourself some fertile eggs is you have to go through and you have to pick which eggs you're going to. You have to pick the eggs that you're going to fertilize. Not fertilize. Incubate. Put into the incubator so that you get the ones, the quality you want. So as you're looking at eggs, there's certain qualities you look for. Like they try to get them uniform size. If you have a little tiny one when they first start laying, it doesn't have everything it needs to develop. So you pick that, or you pick the eggs that come from the types of chickens that you want to have hatch out. So you have to pick your eggs. The parallel here spiritually is that God picks us. He chooses us. We don't, I mean, he's the one who calls us. And that we see in Scripture that God is the one who chooses us. If you will, turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 44. John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Also drop down to verse 65. Verse 65 says, "And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." So here it's clear that God chooses us. Just as in the parallel with the incubation, we pick the eggs, God picks us. Picks those that he's going to incubate. You could say we're being incubated for the kingdom. The next thing you do after you got some fertilized eggs and you picked out just the ones that you're going to incubate, the next thing you got to do is the eggs need to be cleansed. You need to clean them. You have to wash them off if there's any dirt on the outside so that when the chick hatches out and during the process doesn't get bacteria and other things which can make you get sick and not make it. It's interesting that just like washing the eggs, we need to be washed. We need to be cleansed. And God does that through us, of course, with baptism, accepting him. But we have to accept him and his sacrifice to cleanse us. And we can, as we see in Revelation 1, verse 5. Revelation 1, chapter 1, and verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." See, here we see how we are washed. We are washed from our sins by Christ's own blood. As I was going through this, it actually surprised me, the parallels, just from incubating an egg, which is quite fascinating. I would have never thought there would be this many parallels between incubating and our spiritual walk with Christ as we grow. So, after you wash the eggs, the next thing you do, if you don't have a, for us, we don't have a inside our incubator, we don't have a turner, automatic turner. So to help us when we have to turn them later, we put a little mark on them each side so you know that, oh, I had X's up last time, now I have to turn it to an O. But it's interesting, it's just for me, it's just a simple parallel is that we actually mark the eggs, and as we know, God has marked all of us as his. Chosen ones. Then after that, so now you got your eggs, you got them cleaned, you got them ready to go in the incubator. The next thing you do is you put those eggs in the incubator, but if you don't add heat, they're never going to make it. They have to have, the eggs have to be right around 99 and a half degrees. Now, I don't know how you're supposed to get it a half degree, but that's what my incubator says. But there's no half degree mark on the thermometer. So it's kind of touchy. So you're always kind of playing with the temperature, trying to get the temperature just right. A little too hot, they'll hatch a little early. Not hot enough, they'll hatch later. Or if it's not hot, if it doesn't get hot enough, they won't hatch at all. Which this to me, I parallel the heating of the egg as the trials and testing that we receive in our Christian life. If you will, turn with me to Isaiah 48. Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah is a nice, got plenty of chapters in it. Isaiah 48, and we'll begin in verse 10. It says, "Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." Another scripture on this, the heat representing being tested. If you will, please turn with me to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah 13 and verse 9. It's the second to last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah 13. And verse 9. It says, I will bring the one third through the fire. Will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call my name, and I will answer them." So here we see, you know, the heat, as we will be tested. We have to withstand the tests that come in our lives. But without the tests, we can't properly grow. Just like the egg. It's like the baby chick inside the egg. So another thing you have to do, now you got the heat on there, but that's not enough. If you just have heat in there, and they won't make it. You have to turn the eggs. The mother hen gently turns the eggs with her beak and rolls them over. And I never really knew why do you turn an incubated egg? I mean, I didn't ever really think to ask that question. But we looked it up, and here I found it very interesting. Some of the reasons the eggs need turned is because when you turn them, one reason is it allows them to get more nutrients. Allows them to get the nutrients they need of the fluid inside the egg. The egg white part is what the food is. The yolk is what starts the chick. And it also helps move the waste material away so it doesn't get in the way. Another interesting fact is, another reason that turning provides is that if you don't turn it, the baby chick developing in there will actually, when you turn it, it moves and then it floats kind of to the top. And if you don't do that, it would actually go to the inner membrane, the inner lining of the egg, and get stuck to it. And if that happens, the chick won't make it. It'll die. Now, this is an interesting one. This one I compared to in our spiritual life. We can learn from these things as well, that we can't be stagnant. We need that movement. So we can actively, it takes action, be feeding on God's Word. But also, we have to keep moving in that direction towards Christ, or we might get stuck to this world and not make it. At least that's the parallel that I thought of. We have to keep ourselves active in digesting, eating God's Word, and practicing it through actions. We're told in James chapter 4, in James chapter 4 and verse 17, the last verse in the chapter, it says, "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Point being that we need to take action. We need to be moving and feeding and applying what we are digesting and applying to our lives. And just like that little baby chick needs to be getting its nutrition, needs its movement, so it doesn't get stuck. And the next fill, now the other thing you need inside the incubator after you're turning it is you have to add water in the bottom to keep the humidity up. Otherwise, the egg will dry out. And if the egg dries out, well, that means the food inside there is getting less and less, because that's the part that would be drying out. Or if it just gets too dry, there won't be able to sustain the chick. Now, of course, I'm sure you know where I went with this one. Water, we need God's Holy Spirit to take the heat. We need God's Holy Spirit to get us through those trials. We need that relationship with God to be able to take those fiery trials that come in our lives. So now you do, so you have all those conditions and you keep turning your eggs, and for a chicken egg is about 21 days on average or whatever. 21 days later, the chicks start to hatch. Just like that, what we need to do is if brethren, we've made it. You know, if we make the hatching, we've made it. We've made it through our trials and the test. We stay close to God with His Holy Spirit. We've taken in the nourishment, the spiritual nourishment of God's Word. If we make it through and take it in while growing with God's help, as our mother hen, then we'll hatch out as spirit beings in His kingdom. But it's not an easy process. As we know, if you've ever witnessed or watched or tried to incubate some eggs out, not all the eggs make it. Not all the eggs make it. We don't want to be one of those eggs. We want to be one of those eggs that make it. So, let us remember. Let us make it. So let us be sure that we are getting enough spirit, our nourishment, so that we can hatch out to God's kingdom.